with the, you know, schools starting to cut funding and stuff, and they're looking at ag ed programs, and as lots of FA members here in Columbia and Louisville, what's your opinion and what's your input on, you know, why are schools looking at this program to cut first?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say I'm thrilled to be here. I'm a huge fan of what FFA has done for decades and what it's doing for students today. These are definitely tough economic times, and sadly, it's not just FFA programs that are being cut. It's art, it's music, it's PE, it's social workers, it's counselors. And I think as a nation, we're at a crossroads, and we have to decide, is education an investment or is it an expense? And I think education is the best investment we can make. I think all of our children deserve a well-rounded, world-class education. And when we cut education, we cut off our nose to spite our face. So I'm going to be the biggest proponent you're ever going to find to continue to increase funding for education at every level, early childhood education, K-12, making college more affordable. But quite frankly, we have a set of folks in Congress who think right now education is something that can be cut. And so that's the challenge that we face every single day.
What's your message to the young farmers here today? What are you going to talk about?
This is an extraordinary group of young people, and they are future entrepreneurs. They are future leaders. They are future teachers. And I'm going to do everything I can to encourage them, to inspire them, to keep them on the path educationally, and to have them help lead the country where we need to go. This is a remarkable group of leaders, and the culture that FFA helps to build of service, of leadership, of commitment, I think is simply remarkable.
Secretary Duncan, obviously the United States is receiving failing scores nationwide in comparison with the world. And even from the grassroots level, we are suffering educationally, and there continues to be further and further cuts. And a lot of these, such as the National FFA, are life goals that these young people are and such as you mentioned, musics and the arts. Those are things other than even athletics that will take for them the rest of their life. Why do we continue to see cuts in education?
I think as a nation, we're just far too short-sighted on this and frankly complacent. And I feel this huge sense of urgency. We have to get better faster. But again, as I said earlier, far too many people think that somehow these things are extra, they're extracurricular. I don't think music is extra. I don't think debate is extra. I don't think FFA is extra. I think these are the kinds of things that every child needs to have a well-rounded, world-class education. And to be clear, they have to have these opportunities not just in high school, but in first and second and third grade when they're developing their skills and interests and passions. So what we just need, I think, education should be the ultimate non-political or bipartisan issue. We just need a lot more folks across the country and across the political spectrum who go to the voting booth and keep in mind, is the person I'm voting for, be it a local elected official, a state elected official, a national elected official, are they going to walk the walk around education or are they going to talk the talk? It's amazing to me. You'll never find a politician who's anti-education. You know, everybody says they're pro-education. The question is, what do they actually do? What do their actions tell you about what they do? Just to give you one concrete example, sequester. Sequester had a huge impact on poor children who received Title I funding, had a big impact on children with special needs. It's a little bit technical, but there's a thing called impact aid. Yeah. Impact aid goes primarily to children of military families and children on Native American reservations. These are absolutely two sets of populations that deserve our absolute best, and they got cut very significantly. And those children whose families are risking their lives overseas, their parents, those children in the Native American community who have been devastated, have to get better through education, to see them disproportionately cut, it's infuriating. It's infuriating.
How would you characterize, in your own words, the current state of education here in America?
We have a long way to go. We have a long way to go. So let me give you both sides. There's no very simple answer. There's some signs of real progress. High school graduation rates are at three-decade highs. Dropout rates are declining. We're seeing significant increases in college enrollment, particularly amongst the Hispanic population and African American. So those trends are encouraging and positive. We need to build on them. But if we step back, we are nowhere near where we need to go. Our dropout rate is still unacceptably high. If you drop out today, you're basically condemned to poverty and social failure. And again, I try and look at the cradle to career continuum. On the early childhood side, in terms of access to high quality, we rank somewhere 28, 29, 30 relative to our international peers. As you talked about earlier, on any of the test score data on the K-12 side, 15th, 20th, 25th, 30th, nowhere where we need to be. And then at the end of the day, we used to lead the world in college graduation rates, and today we're 12th. So at no level, early childhood, K-12 and higher ed, at no level am I proud of where we are today. And so for me, it's a again, a sense of urgency, a call to action, and all of us have to work together to challenge the status quo and get better faster. We need to lead the world in college graduation rates. We want to have the best educated workforce in the world. And we either do that or we're going to see high-wage, high-skilled jobs go to our international competitors, China, India, Singapore, South Korea. And I, for one, I desperately want to keep those good jobs here in this country. And the only way we do that, the only path to the middle class, is through education.
Maybe two more. We talk about these core classes, STEM classes. How do you incorporate a program like FFA more into some curriculums where we can strengthen that science, technology, engineering, physics?
Well, again, I think you see tremendous innovation across the country. Physics, biology, chemistry, math, where folks are incorporating these kinds of opportunities. And for me, it's so important that students understand what they're learning in class is relevant to the real world. So hands-on, engaged learning is absolutely the right way to do this. So for me, again, this is not an add-on or something on the side. This is a fantastic way to do a better job of teaching some of those core classes. And you're seeing innovative teachers across the country doing that every single day.
Last question.
Secretary Duncan, I know you said high school and college graduation rates are up, but with the public being more unaware, uneducated, and really less caring about agriculture, is the Department of Education doing anything to push agriculture at a younger level in younger classrooms?
That's probably the reason I'm here, is to just try and shine a spotlight on the extraordinary work that FFA is doing. And as I said earlier, all these types of opportunities, yes, it's good sophomore, junior, senior year, but quite frankly, to your point, it's late in the game there. And what are we doing in those middle schools? What are we doing in those elementary schools to build the pipeline? And you have some fantastic FFA chapters, and I'll talk about a little bit today in the speech, who are actually bringing in those middle school students and starting to give them a taste of what's available there. And again, sharing those best practices, building a community of practice is absolutely the right thing to do.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Arnie.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Great to see you.